Today on Straight Talk Africa, I go one-on-one with Seif Sharif Hamadi, the former first vice president of Zanzibar and secretary general of the opposition Civic United Front. Among other things, we discuss the challenges of democracy in his homeland and the continent in general. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, June 15th. I am Shaka Sali.
Hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we bring you a conversation on the recent Zanzibar elections through the eyes of the opposition Civic United Front.
A lot to address in today's program. Coming up later in our SDA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on the topic. That's through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, 1 year ago, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry praised Tanzania as, quote, a model in the region for good governance, democratic ideals, and individual freedoms. But my colleague Paul Sisco reports that's no longer the case.
Tanzania's President Jakaya Kikwete, respecting constitutional limits, left office at the completion of his second term last year. For the first time, a united opposition put forth a single candidate, former Prime Minister Edward Lowassa, for President of Tanzania, against the long-standing Chama Cha Mapinduzi Party candidate John Magufuli. It was the first true challenge to CCM that has led the East African nation since 1964. Seif Sharif Hamad, opposition candidate for president of Zanzibar and former first vice president, spoke at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington Monday.
In Zanzibar, along with the rest of Tanzania, people voted in good faith in elections, especially in Zanzibar, that were held as free and fair.
Local and international election observers reported no significant problems with the peaceful vote in Tanzania or Zanzibar. Not so with the announced results and annulment of the Zanzibar vote by the Zanzibar Electoral Commission. President Magufuli won the close presidential vote. The opposition disputed the count and the annulment, denying Civic United Front candidate Seif Sharif Hamad a victory in Zanzibar.
The chairman of the Zanzibar Electoral Commission, Jecha Salim Jecha, an appointee of the ruling party, annulled the entire exercise. According to the Constitution of Zanzibar and the electoral law of Zanzibar, the chairman of the commission has no such powers. Even the commission has no such powers. That was an act which was against the Constitution, against the law.
The same election observers agreed. The opposition boycotted the election rerun in March, and the ZEC announced a landslide victory for CCM candidate, the incumbent president, Dr. Ali Mohamed Shein. In response, the U.S. Millennium Challenge Corporation has suspended $472 million in development aid to Tanzania. Ambassador Mark Green says U.S. assistance is based on reforms that create the conditions for economic growth.
What is it that the U.S. and the U.S. commercial sector believe is key for a prosperous future? Well, citizen-centered government, citizen-responsive government, is at the heart of that. We believe that there must be genuinely elections in a system which reflect the will of the people.
Mr. Hamad warns Zanzibar is in danger of falling prey to violent extremism.
Poor economic governance, poverty and unemployment, especially among the youth, and a abiding sense of desperation and injustice. And all of this with no channels for political expression. That is why we refuse to extinguish hope. And that is why our struggle for democracy is about much more than Zanzibar. Thank you very much indeed.
Mr. Hamad acknowledged America's long-standing friendship with Tanzania and Zanzibar. He praised America's consistent support for human rights, good governance, and democracy in the region. But he said he fears the erosion of those ideals in Tanzania and his island nation. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Joining me here in our Washington studios is our distinguished guest, Saif Sharif Hamadi himself, a former first vice president of Zanzibar and secretary general of the opposition Civic United Front. Well, Saif, frankly, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa from the Washington studios.
The pleasure is mine.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
Well?
You're on Ramadan, correct?
Oh, yes.
I see. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. This country code is 1. What brought you here this time around? I know you've been here so many times, but this time around, what brought you here?
Well, what brought me to Washington, D.C. and New York is to take our case before the international community. And here, we are happy we have met the officials of many institutions which deal with democracy issues, human rights, and also the officials of the government, especially the State Department.
For example, who did you meet at the State Department?
Well, this morning we met the director of East Africa in the State Department.
In the State Department.
Yes.
Now, what is your case specifically? What is your case?
Our case, Zanzibar, you know, we had an election on the 25th of October last year. And this election was held as the best election. And all the observers, both internal observers as well as international observers, all of them, their judgment was that this was free, fair, and transparent elections. But to our surprise, the ruling party, CCM, instructed the chairman of the Zanzibar Electric Commission, or ZEC, who, after all, is an appointee of the president of Zanzibar, CCM member. So they instructed him to nullify the elections, which indeed is against the Zanzibar constitution. It is against the electoral laws of Zanzibar. In both the constitution and the law, there is no section which gives power to the chairman of the commission or the commission itself to nullify elections.
Those are very, very serious charges, really, that you are alleging, because you're talking about Jecha Salim Jecha.
Oh, yes.
My sources tell me he is a retired judge. Is that correct?
No. That is different. Jecha Salim Jecha is not a judge. He has never taken law in his courses. In fact, in the elections of 2010, he was a candidate himself for CCM, but he was defeated in the primaries.
Very interesting. Now, you say, of course, that his move was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So how come you couldn't, for example, move to the next level? Couldn't you, for example, have had a means of recourse? Couldn't you have gone to the Supreme Court?
Well, you find one thing about Zanzibar courts. They are not independent. And most of the people have no confidence in those courts. And what's
they are not independent.
Not independent.
But neither is the Zambia Electoral Commission, and yet you were in fact willing to participate in that October 25 election.
Because that is different. Because we had no choice.
Yeah, but no choice.
No choice. We had to participate. And after all, in the commission itself, we had two members which were appointed on the recommendations of my party. So at least we knew what was going on there.
Now, when you talk about the Zanzibar Electoral Commission, and you talk about its chairman, of course, Jecha Salim Jecha, did he take that step? Did he annul the election as an individual commissioner, or did he, in fact, consult his fellow commissioners?
No. That is another thing which is very interesting, because we had elections on the 25th of October, and the results started to come in on the 27th. But while verification or verifying the results, Jecha was playing delaying tactics all the time. Sometimes said that I'm called by this official, I'm called by this leader, which is against, in fact, the ethics of the commission itself, because he's not supposed to be called by anybody, and especially at that crucial time. But Jecha was all times finding excuse to absent himself. And, you know, these sessions have to be chaired by him. And actually, on the 28th of October last year, 3 days after the elections, and it was the final day when the commission, according to the law, was supposed to give the results. So you find he did not appear at the verification center. He was not seen there. And when his colleagues found that the time is moving, they asked the vice chairman to take over. While the vice chairman was taking over, he was escorted to police. In fact, this is a high court judge. The vice chairman is a high court judge. And just imagine police treating him as just a local man in the streets.
Very interesting.
He was taken to police center, but at the same time, prior to that, the verification center, which was one hotel, was surrounded by the military, completely surrounded, and nobody was allowed to go in, and those who were inside were not allowed to come out.
You're not talking about the Tanzania People's Defense Forces,
are you? I'm talking about Tanzania People's Forces.
And commanded by the president of Tanzania?
Commanded by, that time it was Kikwete.
Jakaya Mrisho Kikwete
is the commander-in-chief at that time. And these people could not move without the permission of the commander-in-chief. That is why I said that this was a revolution which was sponsored and spearheaded by Jakaya Mrisho Kikwete.
You're not talking about the revolution back of 1964,
no, it is a silent,
which of course was
silent,
led by my cousin, Field Marshal John Okello.
Yeah. No, it is a silent revolution. You find these military could not move to surround that sensitive area without the permission of the commander-in-chief.
Now, talking about that, you said that you had no confidence, of course, in the judiciary system of Zanzibar. What about politically? Couldn't you, for example, have approached the president of the United Republic of Tanzania, Mr. Jakaya Kikwete, to intervene?
That is very interesting, Shaka. In fact, I tried. I tried and tried and tried.
How did you try?
I, first of all, spoke to his people, his secretary. I wrote letters to him. Jakaya decided to meet me 1 day before he left office. Then he called me. I presented my case to him. You'll be surprised what he said, but what we can do now. I have only 24 hours now before I hand over to President Magufuli. And he said that, you know, Maalim, they are afraid of you.
Who is afraid of you?
CCM.
Why?
Ask the same question. Why are they afraid of me? Say that you will break the union.
In what way?
Exactly what I told.
Did he concede for the fact? Did he concede the fact that in fact you might have won?
What he said is that they are afraid of you.
They.
Which means CCM.
Including him.
Including
who
CCM.
Who happens to be the chairman.
The chairman and the commander-in-chief.
They said Chukua Chako Mapema.
In fact, I asked the same question. Mr. President, are you serious? because I don't have any forces. I don't have the military, I don't have police, I don't have the intelligence. How can I break this union?
Well, time is not our best ally. We'll come later to that. Now we'll pause for a short break. We'd like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Zanzibar Elections. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you again, Saif. You talk about Jakaya Kikwete saying that time was not his best ally because he had to hand over to President John Pombe Magufuli. Yes. So what about Mr. Magufuli? Did you approach him?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What I did to Kikwete, I did to President Magufuli as well. I, first of all, contacted his office, but also I wrote a lot of letters, about 6 letters. Finally,
I wish you had copies of some of those letters.
No, I don't have
because
it.
Because they might deny that you never wrote
any
letters.
I have. I'm not going around with those letters.
I've read somewhere, for example, that former President Jakaya Kikwete, in fact, says that he never received any communication from you.
Well. President Kikwete, I'm surprised why he said that. I'm very much surprised.
If you looked in those cameras, suppose he happened to be watching the program, what would you say to him?
Well, I would say that, Mr. President, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I cannot call you a liar, but what you are saying is not true.
Okay. Now we go to President John Pombe Magufuli himself.
So after writing him about 6 letters, later he summoned me to the State House, Dar es Salaam. Mm-hmm. I went to meet him, and he was accompanied by the Vice President of Tanzania.
Who is, of course, from Zanzibar.
From Zanzibar, yes. Honorable, or Her Excellency, Samia Suluhu Hassan. And after welcoming me, I presented our case to him. The facts, what happened.
Was he listening?
Very, very attentively. What happened. And finally, requesting him at least to take steps to see to it that you find a solution is found. Mm-hmm. Well, after listening to me, he said, you know, Mr. Saif, you know, Maalim, that my hands are tied.
Tied by who?
His hands are tied.
By the Constitution of Tanzania?
I don't know, but he said, my hands are tied. I cannot intervene except that my role is to ensure security of Zanzibar. And I said, I'm surprised, Your Excellency. You are the head of state. And you are the head of state of the United Republic of Tanzania. Zanzibar is part of the United Republic of Tanzania. So I don't understand when you said that your hands are tied. So that is the fact.
Why is there a perception safe when you talk to some Tanzanian government officials, and indeed some ordinary Tanzanians in Dar es Salaam, for example, about the issue of Zanzibar? They say that the issue of Zanzibar is very complicated. Those are very complicated issues. Why?
Who complicates them? Who complicates the issues of Zanzibar?
They say those issues belong to the Zanzibari.
Well, then,
of course, you tell me that, in fact, you have a Tanzanian People's Defense Force deployed, in fact,
exactly,
from the mainland.
Exactly. We shall come to that later, when they had that rerun of the 20th March, when Zanzibar was actually militarily occupied. Thousands of the military police was brought to Zanzibar, you see? So that is also, it makes us wonder, for the things they want, they can do. For that, what they don't want, we cannot interfere.
You have run five times.
Correct.
And five times you claim that you have been winning.
Correct.
At least I know when I look at some of the statistics and information that I have accessed, you may probably have won at least three times.
Correct.
But each time you have won, somehow, the ruling party declares victory. How does it feel for you and your supporters?
Well, I myself feel really that Tanzania, because I'm sure without the interference of Tanzania mainland, those in Zanzibar themselves, by themselves, they could not change the results. So we feel that Tanganyika, those who are in authority in Tanganyika, with their party, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, they don't want to relinquish power. So they find a lot of excuses. But the fact is that we have this ruling party syndrome, that all the ruling parties in sub-Saharan Africa, most of the countries, they don't want to relinquish power. They want to cling to power forever. So you find when we have elections in Zanzibar and we win the first election, we win the second election, the third, the fourth, and this one was very obvious. As I said before, all the observers said that you find the elections were free and fair.
I must say that this time around, I was pleasantly surprised even to see that the African Union, the East African Community, even SADC, all were on the same page with the European Union, the Commonwealth observers, and you name it.
Oh, yes.
Incredible.
Yes.
The only people who are missing on that page is the ruling Chama Pinduzi Party.
Yeah.
So where do you go from here? And let's face it, you yourself safe. Sharif Hamadi used to be a card-carrying member of Chama Cha Mapinduzi.
But I was expelled. I was expelled. In fact, we ourselves also were pleasantly surprised when African Union, SADC, East African Community, all said the elections were the best, free and fair.
Correct.
We were really pleasantly surprised.
But not, of course, as seen from the vantage point of Mr. Jecha Salimu Jecha.
Jecha, yeah. Exactly, with CCM.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you happen to, of course, come from a country, frankly, that has been hailed, for example, as the beacon of hope, not only for African democracy, but for African liberation.
Yes.
Especially under Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere. Now, you used to have the frontline states.
Yeah.
I think they were six at some point, later they became seven with the addition of Zimbabwe.
Yes.
The last time I checked, there are only two countries out of those seven where ruling parties from independence have lost power, considered a defeat, and went on, to do some other business. We're talking about Zambia,
yes,
which of course had a great man called
Kenneth
Kaunda, mm-hmm. a man who conceded defeat back, I think, in 1991 with grace. Yeah. And you also have, of course, more recently, Rupia Banda.
Yes, yes.
In Zambia,
yeah.
he conceded defeat yeah. to Michael Sata.
Oh, yes.
You also had in Lesotho, mm-hmm. change of government.
Yes.
But the rest remained the same.
The same, yeah. And that's why I say that ruling party syndrome. They don't want to relinquish power. And let me say also, when President Kaunda was defeated in Chama cha Mapinduzi, there was fear. And they prepared themselves to ensure that they will never relinquish power.
Really?
Yes,
of never?
Course. No, yes, never.
But what about the changing demographics?
Just see. In CCM, especially in Zanzibar, there were some cadres who were saying that they cannot handing over power because of the ballot paper. The ballot paper, yes. They said that they had overthrown a government, and if CAF wants to rule Zanzibar, it has to overthrow the present government. See, that is the attitude.
What are they afraid of, really? Because let's face it, you can't tell me that the people of Zanzibar are living the moment while mourning back 1964. Are you sure you cannot transcend 1964 when my brother Field Marshal John Okello led these young men who overthrew the Sultan?
Yeah.
And took over power?
Well, even there are some circles within CCM who always cling to the revolution of 1964, that they are defending the revolution. And that is, I mean, the problem. That is why they don't want defeat,
mm-hmm.
because the excuse is that they are defending the revolution.
The revolution.
Yeah. But we made a headway, you see, in 2009, we have another accord with President Karume, whereby the reconciliation process started, and that led to the amendment of the Constitution of Zanzibar, which allowed for the formation of government of national unity. And that was done purposely to make every party to be comfortable. Even if I'm defeated, still I will be in the government.
Power sharing.
Power sharing, yes. And we thought that those 5 years from 2010 to 2015, with the experience we had, we thought that the elections of 2015 would be the best and everybody would accept the results.
There are some people who say that's not good enough, Saif Sharif Hamad, because in their view, you actually want to lead a secession. You want Zanzibar pulled out of the union.
Who told them?
I don't know.
Who told them?
That's what they say.
Because we have made our position very clear indeed that we are not going to break the union. But our position is that we want a change in the structure of the union.
Mm-hmm.
The present structure whereby you have only two governments. One government is responsible, that is the union government,
mm-hmm.
is responsible for union matters in both Tanganyika and Zanzibar, and also responsible for non-union matters in Tanganyika, while we have the Zanzibar government responsible for non-union matters in Zanzibar. So we, most of Zanzibaris, feel that Tanganyika wore the coat of the union. And some people's mind in Tanganyika, they feel that Zanzibar is their colony.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that why you, while campaigning in 2014, I remember on the island of Zanzibar, and I did attend, in fact, that campaign. And,
2015, yeah?
You were addressing, it was 2014.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You were addressing a rally in Zanzibar.
Mm.
I was in Zanzibar at the time, and in fact, I paid a courtesy call on your residence,
yes.
You remember?
Yeah.
And you were saying Sirikali Ngapi?
Yes.
Tatu.
Tatu, yes.
How many governments?
Three. Yeah.
And basing that, of course, on the constitutional proposal
oh, yeah.
by Warioba.
Warioba's commissioner.
Former, of course, Tanzanian prime minister and, of course, a man of letters and what have you. We'll come to that later. Now we have to go. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding and fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan. Emmanuel Alcado Cachele from Tanzania writes, "No legitimacy, no representation of the people's wishes. The Zanzibar March 2016 election was manipulated. It was a typical African election, which are just empty processes that are used to deceive the voters. It's sufficient to say Africa has monarchies and self-assured political parties."
Whether you live in Somalia, Senegal, Nigeria, or Zimbabwe, from every corner of sub-Saharan Africa, turn to us for information and experts to help you improve health and life, for you and your family, for your health. Africa Health Network, only on VOA. This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Welcome back, and live from Washington, of course. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Democracy in Tanzania has taken a troubling turn, prompting the U.S. aid agency Millennium Challenge Corporation to cancel a grant totaling nearly $500 million. Now the U.S. is reassessing the East African nation's reputation as a beacon of hope for African democracy, which leads us to our question of the week, asking, given that analysts contend the Zanzibar poll of October 2015 was annulled unconstitutionally, to what extent, in your view, was the March 2016 election legitimate and a reflection of the will of the people? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank you all for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today, just use the hashtag VOA Zanzibar Elections. And if you haven't yet, do follow us at on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Emmanuel Kachele from Tanzania, who tweets that Zanzibar elections was deceitful, it lost legitimacy, and it did not reflect the wishes of the people. Now to a comment from our Facebook followers. Let's go to Jose from Uganda, who says that, "Africa, I wish we loved our countries and for once respect the choices of the people. Democracy is a myth," he writes. Well, Shaka and guests, very pertinent questions, very pertinent comments, rather, your take.
Very interesting. Saif, your reaction.
Well, my reaction, I agree with both, that really it is a pity that in Africa we have gone so low as to despise the will of the people, which is very, very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And my problem is that if this continues, especially in cases of Zanzibar, if this continues, it means you extinguish the hopes of the people, especially the young people who want change in their countries. Mm-hmm. And, well, we have to make sure that democracy works in Africa. If not, then it is probable and possible that the young people will find alternative ways of getting change, which something which can throw our countries into chaos. So we should avoid that by respecting the will of the people.
You know, in 1950s and part of 1960s, there was Ghana, for example. You had the Osagyefo, Kwame Nkrumah, who basically, when he regained the political independence from the British on March 6, 1957, actually said that the independence of Ghana would be meaningless unless it was linked to the total liberation of Africa. And he did not simply talk the talk. He actually walked that talk by providing the necessary tools so that African countries could actually liberate themselves.
Yes.
When he was overthrown in 1966, Nyerere, your president, Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, took over the mantle.
Yeah.
And he helped, he helped to end apartheid in South Africa.
Yes.
The independence of Mozambique, the independence of Zimbabwe, Angola, and you name it. Do you think there is an African country that is democratic enough, for example, that can act that role of making sure that the continent, in fact, becomes democratic?
Well, I'm not sure.
What about Nigeria, for example, where you had an incumbent president, Goodluck Jonathan, losing an election and conceding defeat?
Yeah, I'm coming to that. Most of those few countries which really can concede defeat, they are too small.
But Nigeria is not small.
To have an influence.
Mm-hmm. Nigeria. South Africa.
Nigeria's example in their last election, it was, even for us, we thought that it is an example whereby you find others could emulate indeed. And you find, really, I congratulate President Jonathan for accepting defeat.
Okay.
Really.
Okay.
He did a very good thing for Nigeria and for Africa.
Terrific. Mariama, do we have more reaction from the audience, please?
Well, I think speaking of West Africa, we have other examples in addition to Nigeria, Ghana, you have Benin, you have Senegal. So there are a few countries there who are exercising what democracy really means for their people and for their countries. So let's give them a chance. Let's look at another posting this time from Facebook. And we'll go to Michael Elimu from Uganda, who writes, the same election manipulations incidents happened in Uganda. We are entirely sick of this government. Wow, it's quite a strong statement, Shaka and guests. Once again, your take. I guess it's all happening on that East Africa, on that East African side of the Sub-Saharan Africa.
The East African corridor, indeed, might need some democratic foreign aid, perhaps, from West Africa.
I always say that it might be the food. Maybe we should import our food out there. Just a joke, though. Let's get serious. Go ahead, Shaka.
Your reaction is safe.
Well, in fact, with Uganda, I'm surprised.
Why?
By my colleague mate. Museveni.
Your buddy?
Yeah.
Why? Why are you surprised?
Well, you see, Museveni were together in the University of
Dar es Salaam. Yeah. Correct. What kind of guy was he? What kind of guy was he?
Well, he was...
revolutionary.
Very active, very revolutionary,
You see any democratic...
Tendencies
in him?
But I'll tell you that when he first came to power and attended the AAU meeting,
Yes.
What he said?
Yes.
Said, here you are a bunch of dictators.
Yes.
This is shame. See, now...
He was contemptuous of African dictators.
Exactly.
Of those who stayed in the power longer than 10 years.
Exactly.
So what happened?
Exactly. I'm asking myself, what happened to my friend?
What do you think would happen if the Museveni of 1986 happened to meet the Museveni of 2016 now?
In fact, there will be a lot of contradictions, really. And I thought that Museveni would walk the talk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there is a saying that becoming a president does not change you.
Exactly.
It reveals you.
But also don't forget that power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Thank you very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thank you, Shaka. Maybe one of these days we'll have Museveni himself in our studios and we'll get a chance to ask him all those questions. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Another reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka goes one-on-one with Linda Thomas-Greenfield, Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of African Affairs, is America's top diplomat to Africa. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back, and today, of course, it's a conversation on the recent Zanzibar elections through the eyes of the opposition Civic United Front. Our distinguished guest is Saif Sharif Hamadi himself, a former first vice president of Zanzibar and secretary general of the opposition Civic United Front. Once again, I have to say, Saif, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Again, the pleasure is mine.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you.
I was talking to some Tanzanians and they said, if in fact Saif Sharif Hamadi is confident that he in fact won the October 25 election, 2015, why couldn't he go in the runoff, in the rerun of March 2016? Because in fact, if he has that support, he could have won it. Why couldn't you do that?
Well, you find, first of all, we did not participate in the 20th March election as a matter of principle. Our stand has been that. You find Jecha Salim Jecha had no powers to annul the elections. So all his action was illegal. And for us, the results of 25th October are the ones which we respect. That is one. But secondly, you find CCM didn't want a rerun to be defeated again. So all the instruments of power, all were mobilized to ensure that CCM wins.
So you really don't have any respect at all for the March election won by incumbent president, your colleague Shane, who claims to have won by 91.4%.
Why should I have? I don't have any respect to that. Because first of all, you find the observers who were there, very few, including the Stephen community, and the media, they went round. And Shaka, I'm telling you, the polling stations were empty. Less than 15% of the Zanzibar electorate.
So you had a ghost voters or what?
Those. In fact, it was not an election. I'm told that those who went, they were given a booklet of votes, just vote, like that. If Shen got 46%, in October. Mm-hmm. How is it that in five months, he should get 90%?
Well, he can, after all. You boycotted the election yourself.
Because people don't participate. We boycotted, we asked Zanzibaris not to participate, and the majority of Zanzibaris respected us
But he claims that they actually did.
They didn't
participate.
They didn't. I mean, if you see the clips of the election, whereby the polling stations, no person. I mean, the elections officers dozing.
And what about Mr. Jecha Salim Jecha? What did he say this time around? 91.4%.
Yes, those were all cooked.
Interesting.
All were cooked.
A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. This country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you, Saif. You say there's no freedom in Tanzania, in Zanzibar, and yet you are right here in Washington, D.C. If, on the other hand, you look at Uganda, for example, a man called Dr. Chiza Besigye, who claims to have won the March 18 election in Uganda, and in fact, there are a lot of people who support, that possibility, is right now, rotting in the prison. He can't go anywhere.
Well, you find, yes, it's true that I am in the United States of America now, but let me tell you, Shaka, that not only in Zanzibar, but even in Tanzania as a whole, that beacon of hope is being extinguished. Now you find in Tanzania.
Was it ever there after all? Was it in fact ever there?
At least it was there, in fact, we can say that proportionally to other countries. But now you find with the present government and President Magufuli, the crackdown on opposition is going on. First of all, they prevented a live broadcast of parliamentary debates, which Tanzanians, they are very much used to it, and that was very popular for most of Tanzanians.
I participated in them, in fact, back in 2007 in Dodoma.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the only reason, the regime doesn't want to have criticism.
Yes.
What they have done is to make the parliament itself has its own studio. They edit the speeches, and they give to the televisions what they want people to hear. Not directly, that is one. But secondly, you find newspapers are being closed. Thirdly, you find in the same parliament, in a democratic country, How can it happen that police in uniform can enter parliament, throw out members of parliament? You see? At the same time, we have now in the whole country, police has banned all political activities. No public rallies, no demonstrations, and in some cases, even indoor meetings. For example, Zito was trying to organize a symposium.
Who is Zito?
Zito is chairman of one of the parties known as ACT Mzalendo. Mm-hmm. And indeed, police went to prevent that indoor meeting, you see? So, and you find, what is more, we have a young man who has been jailed 3 years. What is sin to criticize President Magufuli on Facebook?
Really?
Oh, yes.
But this is a man who is obviously being hailed as a new breed of African leaders, a man who apparently is seriously cracking down against corruption. Correct? Isn't he fighting corruption?
Apparently.
Don't you agree that he is?
Apparently.
And if in fact he is fighting corruption, then what about the corruption of somebody stealing a government? Like Chama exactly. Chama Pinduzi exactly. Stealing a government in Zanzibar.
Exactly.
What can he do about that?
Exactly, exactly. And he said that he has no powers. His hands are tied, you see?
His hands are tied. But he can deploy the Tanzania People's Defense Forces of the island?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
If you were to talk to him from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Zanzibari heart and soul, and suppose he had, actually he was watching this program right now, if you looked in the camera there, what would you say to him?
I say, Mr. President, with due respect, at the beginning, everybody supported you in your crusade against corruption. We in our party don't want corruption in Tanzania. But on the other hand, now it appears that you find you don't want to be criticized. And in a true democratic country, criticism is very important because it helps the ruler to know what are his weaknesses so that he could try to correct himself.
Mm.
But if you shut down, you don't want to be criticized, that is danger to democracy. But at the same time, I will tell him, please, Mr. President, you are the head of state of the country known as United Republic of Tanzania. Don't forget that Zanzibar is part of Tanzania, you see? So you cannot leave Zanzibar to go to chaos.
Given the apparent evidence in favor of CAF having won 2015 election, what about Mr. President really attempting at least to restore the will of the people?
Yep.
Because you can talk about people stealing money, the Central Bank of Tanzania, but what about people stealing, Chama Pinduzi stealing a government?
Shaka, that is why when you said
stealing
that,
the will of the people.
That is why when you said that he is fighting corruption, I said apparently. Apparently. Because this fight of corruption seems to be selective. You see? There are some other matters which the president, for his own reasons, he doesn't want to touch or to intervene.
I gather that we have to go to the lifeline of the show, which is the telephone callers. Good evening, Dan Juma from the great nation of Nigeria. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, good evening.
Dan Juma, can you hear me?
Hello.
Well, apparently, Danjuma doesn't seem to be there. What is the way forward, Saif Sharif Hamadi? Because surely you can't remain in this impasse. What are your recommendations?
Well, thank you for that question. You know, ideally, would like to go back to the results of 25th October last year. Mm-hmm. Ideally. But that has its own problems now, because by the time Jecha annulled the elections, there were some few constituencies whereby the verification was not finished yet. And I'm not sure whether the results still are there intact. So you find that is far-fetched. But also, the 20th March election, we say it was not an election, it was a farce.
It was a selection.
there's a selection now. So also, we have to do away with that. What we think is that, first of all, we should have a moderator or somebody, a mediator.
An international mediator?
International mediator. Nobody from Tanzania, of course.
Mm-hmm. What about the region?
The region, yes. There are people who can qualify. They can come as mediators, can be asked and encouraged to be mediators between the two parties. And then what we can first say is that we should have a transitional government formed by the two parties.
Led by who?
Led by a Zanzibari who enjoys the respect of both the parties.
How would you determine that?
Well, you find there are some people who are not interested in politics, but they are very able indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoy the respect of CCM.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy the respect of CAF.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that, such people, they are there.
And that would run the government for how long?
For about up to 6 months.
And then?
And then fresh elections should be called.
Conducted under who?
Not under Jecha, definitely. Under United Nations auspices.
Yeah.
And then you find the will of the people should be respected, and we revert to a government of national unity.
Talk to me again from the deepest inner part of the bottom of your Zanzibari heart and soul. When you look straight in the eyes of younger people on the island, what do you see in their eyes? And what do they say to you?
First, I see anger, disappointment, and in fact, asking me, you are the one who have told us to remain calm. So for how long are we going to respect your word? For how long?
Mm-hmm.
Which will be a challenge to me.
What about the issue of unemployment?
Oh, that is an issue. And as I said, that there's a danger because young people want change. Young people are desperate. Young people have no jobs. Young people are very poor. Young people don't have hope, seem to have lost hope. You see?
But earlier you told me.
There was only hope was that if CUF took the government, then CUF would bring about the change which they want.
But earlier during the break, you told me that you would actually be comfortable to call for sanctions against the government of Tanzania if, in fact, it does not want to seriously deal with this issue and solve it.
Of course.
Then where would these young people get jobs from?
Of course. But even if they have get aid, who benefits from that aid? This aid goes to the coffers of the government. And sometimes when you have corruption, it is also with this money which they get as aid. So the beneficiaries are not the young people who are poor. The beneficiaries are other people.
Very interesting.
In power. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, Saif Sharif Hamadi. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Saif Sharif Hamad, former first vice president of Zanzibar and the secretary general of the opposition Civic United Front. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Zanzibar. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.